Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. It's Football at 4 with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
I was talking to Strawberry Man and Big Sexy, and I was going to comment on the RamosLaw.com text line about auto draft. Was that what it was? I think people misconstrue the concept of when I said the Broncos went on auto draft this year.
It said Cortland Sutton, the best auto draft pick ever, right, D-Mac?
Yes, he was the best auto draft pick ever. Let me take you back to the second round of the draft, Al. You and I were sitting inside the Pat Bowlen Fieldhouse, and the Broncos' second-round pick was coming. Do you remember me saying to you, hey, Al, what do you think about Cortland Sutton? And the reason I said it, and you were like, oh, no, I think maybe this, that, the other thing. You had some other ideas. All that made sense. But the reason why I came up with Cortland Sutton wasn't because I had spent, you know, a million hours in my second-round draft prep. It's because I was on ESPN.com looking at best available player. And the best available player, according to ESPN.com, right before the Broncos made the pick, was Cortland Sutton. Bradley Chubb was the best available player on the board at the time. There's no doubt about it. Except if you wanted a quarterback. I mean, there were still three other quarterbacks that had first-round grades that were available. But if you want to say Bradley Chubb was supposed to go four to Cleveland and he fell, well, if you're doing auto draft, that's Bradley Chubb. If you're doing auto draft, that's Cortland Sutton. And so on and so forth. Going auto draft is not necessarily a negative. It's just an indictment that, you know, you're just kind of going along with what everybody else would do. Alfred, you got to give me this. The Broncos in their draft, consensus-wise, did what everybody else would have done, correct?
I'll tell you that they made all the right picks as far as doing the right thing as far as the draft community goes.
Right.
Looking at NFL.com draft grades for the Denver Broncos, day one grade, that would be Bradley Chubb. They got an A.
Of course.
Day two grade, where they got Cortland Sutton and Royce Freeman. And Isaac Yiadom. By the way, Isaac Yiadom moving up in the process.
Yep. Yes, he is.
So he may be our nickel cornerback.
He may be, yep.
They got an A. Day three, they got an A. Overall grade, the Broncos got an A.
Yeah, because
with that being said, right. I called it their greatest draft ever.
Right, and that's why I called it auto draft, because they basically... they more or less just followed what the consensus idea for them to do was. And that's okay. Now, I would have liked to seen a little bit more creativity moving back up to 32 for Lamar Jackson. But I understand Bradley Chubb. I disagree with it. I'll disagree with it till the, you know, I'll go down in history as disagreeing with it. But I get it. I don't sit here and say, oh, how'd you come up with that? I mean, I totally understand it. Cortland Sutton has first-round talent. I can't believe this guy fell to where he did. So it was a no-brainer auto draft for the Broncos to get him. No-brainer. But if the Broncos really believed in Cortland Sutton, Al, why didn't they move up back into the first round to get Cortland Sutton?
I don't know.
Right?
But I think when you consider that the Broncos were right there,
Well, the Broncos didn't do anything to get Cortland Sutton. He fell to them.
Hold on. Now, look what they could have done now. Nick Chubb, remember now.
Yeah.
You know, we could have had Chubb.
Well, we would have had to move up to get Chubb went ahead of
Cortland
Sutton.
Chubb, and then we could have signed his brother, who's a free agent. We could have had Chubb. We could have literally had Chubb.
Yeah.
If the Broncos would have moved back into the first round and picked up Nick Chubb, Bradley Chubb's cousin.
Been cool. We had the Bailey brothers at one point. It would have been fun to have Chubb.
If we could have got Nick Chubb.
But Nick Chubb went ahead of Cortland Sutton, though.
I know.
So we didn't move up for him either.
But I'm just saying, but what I'm saying is Nick Chubb at the end of the first would have been sweet. Because we could have held on to him.
Okay.
We could have held on to him for 6 or 7 years and
yes.
do.
Right.
We could have held on to him for at a bare minimum 6 years.
All right. But if Courtland Sutton was so obvious to the Broncos, why didn't they move up to get
because
Courtland
you want,
Sutton?
You want to control him. Because I tell you what, guys who are drafted in the second round, man, you get so much more authority over your career and how it goes.
No, but the
no fifth-year option. You have to franchise a guy a year earlier than you would have had to. I mean, this. I mean, the second-round guys, those guys are the real stars when it comes to making the money early in the deal.
We're in agreement. Courtland Sutton fell to the Broncos, and the Broncos took the best available player.
Right.
And they did want a running back.
That is
auto-draft.
They did want a running back, but they waited till the 71st pick to take Royce Freeman.
Yeah.
What they're telling you is that they wanted a wide receiver, they wanted a running back, and they wanted a defensive back and a linebacker. That's what they said, and they wanted at least, once again, they wanted at least one wide receiver. In the draft, though, what we ended up doing is getting two wide receivers.
The Broncos had a really good draft. The only problem with the draft is we just did not set ourselves up in a great position at backup quarterback.
No, the backup quarterback.
But we knew that.
Like if we would have known that Shane Ray didn't need the surgery.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's interesting.
If we would have known that Shane Ray didn't need the surgery.
Who's been killing it, by the way, in camp.
Then certainly the Josh Rosen would have been lovely to have here in Denver.
Hmm.
Josh Rosen.
They weren't going to do that, though. You know what they're going to do, though? They're going to trade down for 12 and 22.
I know, but Josh, well, 12 and 22 could have been fine, too.
It would have been like Vita Vea and Hernandez at guard.
Maybe I don't know. But we would have still gotten Courtland Sutton in that scenario.
Unless we gave up our second round pick, but no, you're right. You are correct there. Yes. We would have had Vita Vea, just for the sake of argument, Vita Vea, a starting guard in Hernandez, and Courtland Sutton. Because Vita Vea, I think, went at 12, and Hernandez went either in the first round or right up at the top of the second round. So both those players, you know, went ahead of Courtland Sutton. So theoretically, Courtland Sutton still would have been there. So you just wouldn't have had Bradley Chubb. And then you have to say, well, what would life have been like without Bradley Chubb? But we would have had, an incredible D-tackle in Vita Vea, and you would have had a guard for the next 10 years in Hernandez.
Right.
You still would have had Courtland Sutton. And you still would have had Royce Freeman.
Or we could have had the big offensive tackle, Colton Miller.
Oh, you could have had Colton Miller from Texas, right?
UCLA.
Sorry.
And he was selected by the Raiders, number 15.
The Raiders.
Tremaine Edmonds, inside linebacker. I mean, that dude went 16. Now, that's a beast.
But that being said,
if you want a beast? That's the beast in the middle of your defense.
But the Broncos didn't.
We could have had the Edmonds brothers. We could have had Terrell Edmonds, also a beast from Virginia Tech. We could have had.
How many guys could we have had?
We could have had the Edmonds brothers. Now, how cool if that would have been? Now, we talk about cousins. We talk about brothers, both selected in the first round of the NFL draft.
Let's take a break. That's like having Joe and Dom DiMaggio. That's like,
you don't have many.
Todd Helton and Tom Helton. All right, we'll take a break. Football 4 rolls next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222. The phone number, SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Just know if your soul will fade at all, the one you sold to fool the world. You lost your self-esteem along the way.
Ohio State fans rallying for Urban Meyer.
Wow.
Was Urban Meyer need a rally? Well, maybe he does. All right, Alfred. What have we learned here is the Broncos have, this is an interesting break because they had a, you know, kind of a break and then a weekend practice and now a break today and the first depth chart comes out tomorrow. Depth charts, I get it with depth charts, you know, you take it all with a grain of salt.
No, everything means something to somebody early on in the process.
Will we see Case Keenum, number two, Paxton Lynch?
Say it again.
Well, you know how they do it
Case
sometimes.
Keenum,
it's one, and it's like Lynch and Kelly.
Yeah, they'll go two.
Or do you think it'll be Lynch two, Kelly three?
It'll go Lynch, Kelly, with a...
And or, like a slash, yeah, whatever?
Yep.
That'll be interesting. I mean, if that's the case, then, you know, you just say, okay, well, are we going to see it today? Are we going to see Chad Kelly with the twos today? Now, you inevitably will see Chad Kelly with an element of the twos on Saturday against Minnesota. I mean, you kind of have to, right? Or, I mean, because it's Keenum. What is Keenum going to do?
Hang out.
One series at best, right? Maybe no series. Maybe one series. You know, here's what Sunday looked like yesterday out at practice. More of a conservative offensive approach. Like, they didn't go right off the bat four wides. They didn't really try to do all those things that were working in team before. It actually looked kind of like, you know, the kind of the original, we didn't really know how great Courtland Sutton was going to be plan. And, you know, it was kind of not really all that effective. And then Chad Kelly just got out there and just was throwing dimes. He just was just throwing the ball up there. Touchdown after touchdown. It was pretty cool. I mean, Chad Kelly led the Broncos to three scoring drives. Three. Because he threw a touchdown pass like on his second pass of the entire, you know, his series. Touchdown pass. Five passes later, touchdown pass. And then another pass right, you know, inside the five-yard line that was pass interference that brought the ball, you know, down there. And then it kind of stalled after that. But, I mean, certainly would have been a field goal. And Chad Kelly led his team to a virtual 17 points, and it was the only scores of the entire scrimmage.
Well, what do you expect when you have a veteran? You know, I told you I just want one of those Minnesota quarterbacks. I wasn't kidding. You know, I wanted the one that was the youngest one so we can grow for many years. But I'll take the guy that won all those games last year in Case Keenum. And, D-Mac, with that being said, interesting news. Mm-hmm. Really interesting news.
I love interesting news.
That's starting to take form right now.
What's that?
You remember Sean Smith, the Oakland Raider who beat up the boyfriend of his sister?
Yikes.
Beat him up. Remember, he went to prison. He went to jail.
He went to jail. Okay.
He went to jail for 1 year, and he had a 5-year probation.
Okay.
I got a way to fix this team. How about Sean Smith as our third cornerback?
What'd he do?
He beat up the boyfriend for beating up his sister. So
his sister got beat up by her boyfriend.
And then he beat.
And he went and beat up that guy.
Yep.
Was he in jail?
He was in jail.
How long?
He was sentenced to 1 year jail and 5 years probation. But he just finished up with like 6 months early probation.
He's free now?
He's free on the street.
is he allowed to work?
Oh, of course.
Out of the state?
He's expected to release September 5th. He's not actually free yet.
But I thought he said it was going to be, it said about a year and a half, about a half a year earlier. I thought he was getting out before then.
Yeah, Sean got a 1 year sentence in jail and 5 years probation after pleading guilty to felony assault back in July 2017.
Okay, September 5th. How about that, though? In time for the football season. Would you take him? If you forgot who he was, let me explain who he was.
Stretch. I might need to see him work out a little bit.
Hold on, let me explain who he was before this incident. Now, he signed a $40 million contract with the Raiders in 2016. But because of that incident, he got suspended. He's eligible to play in a 2018 season?
Maybe. I mean, how urgent is this?
There's a reason that all these receivers are looking good, D-Mac.
You want to dig into that? You wanna,
I mean, listen, I'm
hey,
telling
you. Hey, man, I was there.
I'm
I saw Chris
you.
Harris. Chris Harris said that he's having communication issues with Bradley Roby, and
listen,
it's not
man,
the same.
I'm just telling you.
He that, said it.
Listen, I'm just telling you, there's a reason that that Case Keenum looks great.
Wow.
I mean, he looks great because
you're
he's a good quarterback.
You're implying that it's because the secondary is not so strong.
Well, I mean, it's not as strong as it was when we had Bradley Roby as our third corner.
Well, I'll give you this. You know, because the D-line and the linebackers can't actually sack the quarterback, you know, there's definitely moments that passes are getting thrown and probably completed where they normally wouldn't.
Is he allowable back into our NFL society easily because he went to jail for beating up the boyfriend of his sister?
Why did he beat up the boyfriend of his sister?
Because he
beat her up. Yeah. I gotcha. Wow, that's interesting. Well, I don't know why he wouldn't be. Was he suspended by the NFL? Was he? I mean,
he'll have to serve a suspension, but during that suspension, he can get in shape.
You know, I'm all for taking flyers if everything's under the rules. I mean, you know, was it a good thing that he beat? I mean,
I don't know about that, but you know.
Right. What am I saying? What am I saying?
I don't know what you're saying.
I really should shut up on that. All right, let's take a quick break.
Think about that.
Yeah. It's an interesting question, Alfred. I'd say no. Our training camp 2018 coverage is brought to you by Body Armor Sports Drink. The more natural, better sports drink. It's available now on sale at King Supers. It's the drive on the fan.
Covering training camp 2018. Presented by Body Armor Sports Drink. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
Broncos would be day off today. We happened to catch the Rockies game yesterday, Alfred.
There was a lot of fireworks.
They almost blew it, and then Nolan hit a walk-off in extra. Well, not a walk-off. They were on the road, but it was crazy. They blew another lead, this time with Ottavino throwing wild pitches, and just like, this is, I just can't believe this is happening again. But at the end of the day, they got Nolan Arenado, and thank goodness.
Good feet there. Back to first. Safe.
See, they're going to challenge. He just come out. He said, we want to take a look at it. This one should tell.
Yeah!
Out.
Yeah.
Ball game over. Colorado, you can breathe again.
Look at the hugs from the guys at the mound.
This has been a week of torture. And
look at the
Rockies.
Smiles of relief.
It's not smiles of joy right now. It is, as you said, smiles of relief. Does a fantastic job. Rockies win 5-4 and 11 after giving up three with two outs in the bottom of the ninth.
How about that, Spilly? What was that noise Spilly made there initially when they... Yeah, that's right. It was a double play and they went to review and they got it. It was crazy. Spilly had kind of a... What kind of noise was that? That was
kind of like alien.
I don't know. Yeah, they had lost four games in a row. They had lost five out of six. It just had not been good. Walk offs left and right.
That was very Joe Namath like.
Ball game over.
Was he howling?
Ball game over.
It's kind of in chunks. There was the initial
Wait.
Can you do it without Drew? I mean, not that we don't love Drew. Because the ball game kind of comes in there. Ball game.
Ball game.
Who doesn't love Spilly, man? Who doesn't love Spilly? I'm watching one of the walk-offs over the weekend. They go back to the studio and They're kind of like, oh, well, you know, it's the way it goes and blah, 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 blah. Now back out to Drew. That was tragic. Spilly, yes, I agree, Drew. They were great. Tragic. It was tragic. I was like, it was tragic. Then I had some a text back and forth because I was so upset. And it's because Wade Davis had walked a couple guys and stayed in the game. And then Thames hit the ball. You know, he's like the strongest guy in Major League Baseball. And it's so sad. And I was just so upset. And then, the you know, Drew did call it. He called it tragic, which was good. And but, you know, the studio show was like kind of poo-pooing it. But Drew called it what it was. And, you know, I was critical of Bud Black because Davis walked two guys. And, Alfred, I know you don't have a lot of depth in the bullpen and you paid these guys a ton of money. But in my mind, if a closer walks two guys, he's going to be desperate to throw a strike. And if he's desperate to throw a strike,
I'm going
to
hit it.
Yeah. It's going to happen. And now you're going to make a mistake with guys on base. So you make a mistake with nobody on base. I mean, it sucks, but the game's tied. You don't lose the game. Look at Chapman last night. Did you that Red Sox-Yankees game, first of all, it's unbelievable a nine-inning game can go like 4 hours. But you see Chapman with a Chapman, Alfred, throwing 100 miles an hour with a three-run lead. Walked three guys.
We know he can be a little erratical.
And he gave up a hit to J.D. Martinez, and the Red Sox were able to tie it up.
Thought you said you don't watch the Red Sox.
It was a Sunday night baseball game.
Thought you said you don't watch baseball unless it's the Rockies.
It was on. It was night. It was
maybe
awesome.
Maybe because it was the Red Sox?
Well, it was an exciting game.
I mean, you do have a Red Sox tattoo.
It's fading, but you're right. But I'm not going to lie.
Let me tell you something. This is wicked awful.
I was definitely rooting. Listen, man, I don't care. Who wants to see the Yankees win? I felt a little bad because Greg Bird missed a kind of a short hop sort of throw that would have ended the game. And I was like, I bet they don't teach it that way at Grandview. And then I was like, oh.
Oh, that is so.
Then I was like, I apologize. Grandview's awesome. And it wasn't his fault. The third baseman should have one-hopped it instead of he tried to throw it all the way. And it was that in-between hop. It's the hardest play for first baseman to make. It's so much easier if you just literally throw it on the ground, one hop it. I've seen Nolan one hop it from third to second and turn a double play. It's the third baseman. You know, we take some things for granted with Nolan Arenado, that's for sure. You see other third basemen out there, you realize what we got. That game was awesome last night. And Chapman walked three guys out. He also struck out three guys. But he gave up three runs, and they eventually lost the game. And after his second walk, I thought the same thing. I thought, well, why don't the Yankees just, you know, put somebody else in? It's not his night.
But I love Chapman just because of his raw strength.
I do too. But guess what, guys? It is stunning. It is stunning to see hitters who are so good, they can hit 100-mile-an-hour fastball. It's really amazing, actually. It's like not enough to throw it 100 miles an hour. You still need off-speed stuff. You still need a locate.
100 miles an hour and drop it down to a 85
That's
mile.
Right. That's right.
Curve.
That's right. You need all of it. You need to be able to pitch. And this shows you how incredible the hitters in Major League Baseball are. It was fun. It was exciting. I love baseball. What can I tell you? And my feeling watching,
even if it's not the Rockies.
If it's the Cardinals and the Cubs, right? Like, and it's a packed house. If it's the Dodgers and the Giants and it's sold out, I mean, come on, man. It's just exciting sports.
Well, really what you just saw was the last weekend without pro football until the third weekend, or should I say the second weekend of February of 2019. From now until then, you'll see football.
Well, to go on the Red Sox and the Yankees a little bit, that's a four-game sweep of the Yankees in Boston. Al, we have a four-game set with the Dodgers coming up, starting on Thursday, going through Sunday. How exciting would it be to sweep the Dodgers at Coors Field? I mean, we are talking 45 to 50,000 fans at every single game going bananas. And, wow, gosh, let me look at it real quick, where we are standings-wise. I think we're two games behind the Dodgers, right?
Dodgers and Diamondbacks are both tied for first.
All right, so we're two games behind the Dodgers and Diamondbacks. Well, what if at the we got a three-game set with the Pirates, so I don't want to necessarily look through that, and that's starting tonight. Let's say we get through that and we still are two games behind the Dodgers when that series begins. How exciting will it be a week from today, next Monday, to be two games ahead of the Dodgers? So while I'm watching the Red Sox-Yankees, I'm just thinking, man, the opportunity is in your hand. The Red Sox have, like, buried the Yankees. Like, the Yankees fans have given up now on winning the American League East. It's over. The Red Sox are unbelievable right now. They got, like, 75 wins or something. 79 wins for the Red Sox, Al. 79-34.
Wow.
Jeez.
They're probably going to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I think so. They have the best record in baseball. by far.
But, you know, the thing is, when you get to the Rockies and you start seeing these home games that they have set up, like when you play at home 7 days in a row, right?
Got to have it. Got to have 7 days in a row. Got to have five out of seven at least.
And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good about us where we are right now, but having seven games at home in your back pocket.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Come on. Let's do it. Let's go.
Seven games in a row. Every night we're going to have baseball. Well, we're going to play 110 game on Wednesday and Sunday, the getaway game. But, I mean, that's great.
It's great.
Now, here we are, man. I mean, this is go time, man. Like, there's no more talk of it being a long season. Now, I mean, September sets up perfect for us because in September, all of our games will be played at home minus nine. So some like 20 games will be played at home. Man, I'm thinking like this is absolutely go time. You can't have much more of a go time. I mean, because baseball lulls you to sleep. I mean, it really does. Because you say, I'll catch the next game.
I swear to God, if you were watching that game last night, Al, you would think there's no way the Rockies are going to pull this off after the way they blew it. And they won, which was great. So, listen, I'm not giving up on them. I'm not giving up on Wade Davis. But, hey, bud, two walks, you're out, okay? We'll live to fight another day. But Chapman, with Yankees, two walks, it's not your night. We got other guys. We'll do our best. We'll do with what we can. You never know. We'll give somebody else an opportunity to see if they can shine. You know, this is not Game 7 of the World Series quite yet. We can have other guys come through for you. And at least if a guy comes out of the bullpen, he's ready to go, Al. He's not psychologically messed in the head because he just walked two guys. He's ready, theoretically. It might not work out, but we know now it might not work out. So that's it. That's all I'm going to ask. You walk two guys, have a backup plan.
So you don't care about pitch count anymore?
No.
So
no,
what either about you got if it's it or you starter don't. And he's in the seventh inning? Do you care about pitch count then?
The starter, yeah, I mean, sort of.
Seventh inning, and what happens if your starter throws, call it 78 balls to 82 balls, and it's the seventh inning, and he walks two?
Oh, I'm just talking about the ninth inning.
I'm just saying, what if it's the seventh inning?
And the seventh inning, he's only thrown 78 pitches? What's the score?
You're winning 2-0.
I'd probably go with the reliever at that point, yeah. In the seventh inning, yeah. Yep, he's probably tired, or even though he hasn't thrown that many pitches relatively.
Even though he's only given up three hits?
Yeah, it's probably his time. I mean, we pay other guys, too. You know, they're professional pitchers,
but
too.
But you know how bad that looks if you sub out for a guy who was only thrown, at that moment, less than 85 pitches?
He's walked two guys, especially with no outs. I mean, if there's two outs and he walks two guys, first and second, 2-0, I don't know. Maybe
let
I can
get
see,
out of it.
I might give him one more batter and see what happens, maybe. But in general, you walk two guys with less than two outs, it's not your night. It wasn't Chapman's night last night, and it wasn't Davis's before. And we, the winner of the game last night was got the win for the Rockies. He went in the extra innings, got the W.
That's funny because most of the time you are an you believe in the numbers, not at the look. You know what I'm saying? And that certainly is what I'm talking about here because you have been
walked two guys. It's just a nightmare.
But the numbers say that he's, you know,
you shouldn't walk anybody. You're a professional reliever. You're a closer. You're getting.
I'm saying this is your starter. But what if
your,
it's your starter
is a different story. That's a whole different circumstance. I'm really just talking about the closers. That's where the Rockies have had the most problems. Not the seventh inning and the ninth inning. But they got the win, three games set with Pittsburgh. I'm sure it's going to be a great crowd down at Coors Field tonight. This is The Drive on the Fan.
Covering Training Camp 2018, presented by Mountain High Appliance. Here's Big Al and D-Mac.
On the RamosLaw.com text line, how's Royce Freeman doing now? good question. How is Royce Freeman doing?
Because the way we handle things with the Broncos, we won't really know about our running backs until there's really live action. The running back and quarterback are always in question because they get really no live action.
So, really? Average. So, wait. Are we going to make judgments too soon then on Paxton Lynch, if that's the case?
No, because when you're in shorts, you should be able to complete passes. And when I say in shorts, I mean shoulder pads, pants, with no ability to get hit. So, basically, shorts.
Okay. All right.
And the running backs aren't, you know, the running backs can't run through tackles. They can't show you the extra effort because the defenders are not treating them like they are NFL runners right now. They're not, you know, they're teammates. So this is going to be good to get this preseason game going.
I know we always hype up the first preseason game, and then we're always left afterwards like, You think this is different?
Yeah, you think Case Keenum should play any?
No. Nope, I do not.
Should any of our starters play?
No.
But Andrew Luck should play.
Andrew Luck, I don't know. I have no idea. No. Is he going to start for the Colts? We have a joint practice.
I don't think they say that he's going to play. He's going to play significantly more minutes.
Oh, well, that's on them. We have a joint practice coming up with the Bears. That's good. That's where, you know, because you can really practice hard without risking your quarterback getting killed. You know, I that's awesome. I wish we had two joint practices with the, you know, with the Bears and another team. That's going to be fun next week. So, no, I don't think the starters have to play at all against Minnesota. I think they're going to get good work in against Chicago during the week and maybe play a little bit in that game. Then we travel to Washington. Why are we going all the way to Washington for a preseason game? Doesn't that seem ridiculous to you? We're going to the East Coast for a preseason game?
You think that all the games should be regional?
Well, what do you think? I mean,
no, I think you go where you can go.
I mean, go anywhere. I mean, how do we not have enough teams in this region? Between the Rams, Chargers, Seahawks?
You saying stay on the West Coast?
Raiders, Cardinals, Cowboys, Chiefs, I don't know. Minnesota, that's a relatively...
That's the way it was back in the day.
Washington.
You say pretty much regional.
Yeah, why are we playing Washington? That makes no sense to me, but...
Why did Seattle ever come off the schedule?
What do you mean? Well, they're in the NFC.
No, but I mean, we used to always play the Seahawks in preseason. We always ended the preseason.
Yeah. Well, we always ended with Arizona. Right.
And we found a way
somehow
to play
Seattle's in there. Yeah.
Seattle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question.
Yeah, Seattle.
Seattle should want to play
Chicago,
the Broncos.
The Vikings and the Redskins are
Bears. Yeah. Bears are fine.
Bears are part of it.
That game. That week,
Arizona, Chicago, and Seattle were part of our normal mix.
But here's the trick. After a joint week of practice with the Bears and a game on Saturday, that's enough for our starters. That's a good, hard week of practice. That's get some good time in there. And what else do we need? No, none of our starters should play against the Minnesota. Do you disagree with me on that?
I would say that you need at least one series from both units because, you know, it's the let's see how you handle this. Remember, not everybody has been in every situation, but when they call first nickel, hey, guys, we're going to first quarter. I'm just letting you know we're going to first quarter. I mean, I know you want to say don't put your guys at risk, but, I mean, at some point, man, it's preseason. I mean, guys get hurt in preseason in basketball and baseball and in hockey as well. So you just got to go with it. It's what we do. There's an injury risk at all
of
the sports. But one quarter, maybe half a quarter.
When you look at it in the entire preseason, the starters get the equivalent of one game.
Yeah, but I would say because you have new coordinators, man, you have new offensive coordinators, defensive coordinators, and special teams coordinators.
So how come you can't just hash that out during your week of practice with the Bears?
You can, but you want to see it. You need to see your first nickel.
Okay.
You need to see your first zebra package, you know, or three-wide receiver package. You need to see your first goal line. So at some point, you're going to have to see it all.
All right. We have these same conversations every August. You know, we get through training camp.
But we didn't need to see Peyton Manning. We need to see Case Keenum.
Okay. But it doesn't make a difference. He's the starter day one no matter what.
You know what I will always remember? Maybe the reason we didn't play Seattle this year in the preseason because we play Seattle to open the season opener.
Here's this text. Not playing Seattle or Arizona because they play in the regular season.
We play Arizona in week 7.
Right.
But that's not right.
We've played Seattle in preseason and then played them in the regular season as well.
Yeah.
Seattle's going to be bad, Alfred. I think.
I disagree.
I hope they're going to be bad. Then the Raiders right away.
Baltimore, Kansas City. We should be somewhere around 3-1.
Mm.
2-2 at the worst.
I think we'll be 2-2. At Jets and then Rams. That's going to be interesting.
3-1 in the next 4.
3-1 in the next 4. At Jets, host Rams. We're going to go 3-1 with 3 road games out of 4?
Mm-hmm. Because we're playing a rookie.
I don't know, man.
Kansas City. We're playing Arizona.
Yeah.
They may be playing a rookie then. We play the Rams. We play at the Jets, who Sam Darnold is a 50-50 proposition for being a starter.
I hope so, man. Let's do it. Let's.
Then we have a bye.
Alfred, are the Broncos a playoff-level quality team?
Yes.
Why?
Because of the quarterback. All the positional players are good. We have unusually great depth. And those are the things that can propel you in the face of an injury. That's why I say get Matt Moore as your backup quarterback, develop Chad Kelly, and away we go. Don't play around with it. You got enough.
What if he gets hurt?
Who?
Case? Yeah.
Then that's why you get Matt Moore.
Yeah. I like that idea a lot. I like Matt Moore. He's a real pro's pro. Nothing flashy.
I'll take RG3 when they decide to part ways. I like RG3. I really love RG3. You heard me on Friday talk about RG3. RG3 is prime to me. He's the guy. He can be your guy for several years as your backup here in Denver, if pressed into being a starter, we know he can get it done. He had to be humbled.
You think they're going to cut him?
Oh, I think so because he's so similar to.
You think they're okay with Teddy Bridgewater with Lamar Jackson being the backup?
I think if they keep him, you know, but he just needed somebody else to give him a chance.
What do they do in New York?
What do you mean?
Do they keep McCown and Bridgewater with Darnold?
I don't know if McCown is going to be kept, but I think Bridgewater is. They think highly of Bridgewater.
Well, really?
There.
You think McCown might be available?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, well, let's get him. That's a perfect backup.
Why is everybody in love with McCown?
It's just kind of a pro's pro. He's just, you know.
What does that mean?
He's been on a million teams. You just know he'll come in and he'll be a good, you know, kind of vet leader sort of guy. You know, he'll make smart decisions for the most part. Nothing spectacular, but, you know, I mean, if we're writing off Paxton Lynch, then you don't think Chad Kelly's quite ready. If you think Chad Kelly's ready, just let me know. Because I look at Chad Kelly and Case Keenum, and I think I'm looking at pretty similar players. I think I'm looking at things that would work for both of them. Paxton Lynch? Well, that's another issue, right, Stink?
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlereth, brought to you by Shomp BMW.
We had a scrimmage yesterday, and it was interesting because I thought it was a pretty good scrimmage. I think, you know, obviously our starting quarterback has got legitimate chops to be a starting quarterback. I think he gives this team, you know, great excitement for the future and where this team could go offensively. I think he it permeates the whole organization. I think the defense is excited about it. And I was actually pretty intrigued with the third quarterback in Chad Kelly. But I think it's time. I've always talked about a middle-ish of June quarterback. I think you need a veteran on this roster because after watching what I watched yesterday, I just don't feel like you've got a situation where you can weather a storm if Case Keenum had to sit for three or four games with an injury. I think it's time to get yourself a veteran backup. And this comment by Chris Harris Jr. really made me think to the point of it's time to go out and find yourself this veteran quarterback. Here's what he had to say.
When I watch film, kind of like the one offense is doing something totally different than the two offense. So it's like they're level 10, everybody else is like a level, like a way level lower.
Sooner rather than later, you're going to see a veteran quarterback here with the Denver Broncos as you roll into the season because I don't think as it's currently constructed, this roster with Paxton Lynch and Chad Kelly, I don't believe you can go into the season that way. So I think they're going to get themselves a veteran quarterback very soon here, maybe second or third preseason game. They've got to have a veteran on this roster when they get their cleats on the grass.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.